Paranormal, True Stories. Narrated by Paul Spera. The Curse of Pont Saint-Esprit. The summer of 1951 began in a promising way. In the aftermath of the Second World War, France was slowly recovering, rebuilding its cities and reviving agricultural production to solve the food shortage, all with a smile on their faces, convinced that the worst was in the rearview mirror. In the small town of Pont Saint-Esprit in southern France, preparations are underway for the Feast of the Assumption of Mary. Long tables are laid, dishes are prepared, and hunger is to be generally satisfied at least for one evening. One forgets to watch out for the evil that lurks in the sleepy countryside and that is about to strike. On August 16th, the day after the feast, one of the village's three doctors receives several patients with similar symptoms. Stomach pain, discomfort, difficulty digesting. Nothing alarming, a little food poisoning that can be treated with purging and verbena tea. A couple of children and their frightened parents come to consult as well. They are two brothers, around 10 years in age. One claims to see snow falling in his room. The other talks to the birds. Here we're certainly moving away from simple gastrointestinal illness, but the doctor has an answer for everything. These kids must have spent a little too much time in the sun. Over the following days, more and more townspeople fall ill and flock to the offices of the three doctors. They all have similar diagnoses: an abnormally low heart rate of about 50 beats per minute, precipitous drops in blood pressure, and a temperature that hovers around 95 degrees Fahrenheit. There are also numerous cases of insomnia, long sleepless nights, of which the town's artisans take advantage to catch up on their work. The retirees, less busy for their part, devote their insomnias to nocturnal walks. Finally, other hallucinations are noted. A farmer hears a church choir in his wheat field. A seamstress sees gigantic flowers exploding in flames through her window, and a grocer converses with the spirits of his ancestors. Even the animals are strange in Pont Saint-Esprit. The alley cats hiss and spit at passersby, more than usual anyway. The hens ransack their henhouse, and the dogs attack their own masters. The phenomenon turns into a nightmare on the night of August 24th, 1951, later nicknamed by one of the three doctors, the Evening of the Apocalypse. It all begins around midnight with the sound of screaming in the village streets. An entire family comes down to the sidewalk to call for help. Blood is dripping from their ceiling, and the walls of the living room have begun closing in, threatening to crush them. Gradually, they're joined by dozens of residents, each struck by a different, horrific vision. A young woman dances a waltz alone in a fountain while everything around her burns. Two blocks away, a man runs like hell, chased by a winged demon. He almost gets hit by a mailman on his bicycle, who ends up crashing against the front of the town hall, breaking three ribs. The mayor wakes up to this chaos. His eyes glaze over, his mustache is in disarray. He drags himself out of bed to look out the window, and he turns pale. His constituents are wandering around outside like a pack of zombies in their underwear or pajamas. The mayor hadn't been worried the week before when doctors told him of the warning signs, not imagining the whole thing would turn into an epidemic. He hurriedly calls the police and fire departments. It's time for someone to intervene. In Pont-Saint-Esprit, the situation is getting out of hand. An old man has jumped from his kitchen on the second floor. He's broken both legs upon landing, but has nonetheless gotten up and galloped 150 feet away. A worker has also thrown himself into the Rhone River, shouting to the crowd that he is dead, that his head is made of copper, that snakes are gushing out of his stomach. At 1 a.m., the gendarmes enter the village, stricken by general insanity, and immediately come across a crying man tied to a cart. The roads around the village are blocked off, only allowing the ambulances to pass by and put the most demented people into straitjackets. The nearest hospital is overwhelmed. Its distraught nuns, more accustomed to treating influenza than patients banging their heads against the wall. At dawn, Pont-Saint-Esprit finally calms down, at a heavy cost. Out of its 4,200 inhabitants, 300 people have been contaminated, 50 of them interned in a psychiatric ward. Before the end of the year, 7 of the patients will have died. In the meantime, the village is invaded by an armada of policemen, scientists, and journalists, all of them trying not to give in to superstition and striving to find a rational explanation. The experts on the scene agree that the victims have all suffered from food poisoning. One of the town doctors then looked at a bakery and slapped his forehead. Hallucinations, fever, insanity. The curse that struck his community resembles the so-called St. Anthony's Fire, also known as ergotoxicosis, a disease caused by fungus that infects rye and other cereals and that, in the Middle Ages, was mistaken for witchcraft. Back then, those stricken with the disease had only two choices: be healed by God or burn at the stake. Fortunately, other alternatives have since been found, especially since the disease's origin as a parasitic fungus was discovered. Indeed, rye bread, eaten in abundance during the Assumption Feast, is omnipresent on the household table. Could it be the cause of the disaster? As a precaution, the mayor forbids the sale of bread in his village, to the great displeasure of the townspeople, who will have to chew rusks until further notice. Samples are taken in 8 different bakeries. One of them is the particular subject of gossip. Roche-Briand's bakery on the Grand Rue, the most famous and popular in the area. No one has forgotten the bitter defeat suffered by the artisan baker during the last municipal elections. Everyone is convinced that he wanted to poison his bread to get even. The authorities trace the supplier's trail over 350 miles to the northwest, towards Poitiers, to a miller named Maurice Maillet. The latter confesses to cutting his wheat flour with spoiled rye from time to time to make ends meet, but he has no idea that his scheme would plunge Pont-Saint-Esprit into psychosis. The baker and his miller are arrested, but the material evidence is insufficient. The results of the analyses are confusing and contradictory. The flour coming from Maurice Maillet's mill doesn't correspond to that used by Roche-Briand. It is also known that bread contaminated by ergotoxicosis takes on a black color and gives off a nauseating smell. The citizens of Pont-Saint-Esprit, however, affirm the bread they ate was white, crunchy, a little dry, but no more than usual. As a result, the two men are released, and the investigation starts over from scratch. Over the years, other hypotheses are put forward. Could it be that the water from the fountain rather than the bread makes you crazy? Or could it have been a gypsy woman who would have bewitched the baker's yeast? In 2009, the journalist Hank P. Albarelli, Jr. published a book entitled A Terrible Mistake, in which he revealed the existence of a certain Frank Olson, a biochemist who had conducted experiments for the CIA, dealing with the manipulation of populations through the use of LSD. According to Albarelli, Olson went to France shortly before the Pont Saint-Esprit tragedy and, a mere coincidence, killed himself 2 years later, in 1953, throwing himself from a window on the 11th floor of his Manhattan hotel. Shortly before taking the plunge, Olson confessed to his wife that he had made a terrible mistake. Albarelli also collected testimonies and a declassified document, which he claims imply that stealth planes sprayed LSD on the fields bordering the Pont Saint-Esprit township. The truth, however, remains shrouded in uncertainty. Even today, the mystery of Pont Saint-Esprit remains unsolved. At the time, the newspaper Midi Libre wrote in an article, "For lack of the name of the evil, we want to know the name of the man responsible. One accuses the baker, his assistant, then the water of the fountains, then the modern beating machines, the foreign powers, the bacteriological war, the devil, the railroad company, the Pope, and Stalin. Let us add to the list the CIA and very special mushrooms." Did you like this episode? Feel free to comment, share, and rate it. See you soon for new stories. Midnight Studio, addictive podcast creator.